Heavenly Father, this morning we have come to worship and to praise you. We pray now that you would speak to each heart. We pray that those gathered here this morning might be able to experience a new depth of thanksgiving and praise in their hearts. Remind us, Lord, that for children of God, Thanksgiving and Christmas and Easter are everyday celebrations. Not just a circle on the calendar. Help us to be a thankful people every moment of every day. And we'll give you the praise, for it's in Jesus' wonderful name we ask it. Amen. In just a moment, we're going to be singing hymn number 102 in your hymnal. Before we do, let me give you a little bit of background here to help you appreciate what it's talking about. You know, so often we get the idea that here somebody is living in their big mansion and they're sitting out beside their swimming pool and they say, oh, I think I'll write a hymn. So they write some beautiful flowing words about how wonderful life is. Well, that's great. More power to them. However, this is not the case with the hymn we're going to sing. Martin Rinker was a minister in the little town of Eilenburg, Germany, over 350 years ago. He was the son of a poor coppersmith, but he managed to work his way through an education. In 1617, he was offered the post of archdeacon of his hometown parish. A year later, the 30 Years' War broke out, and his town was caught right in the middle of it. Eilenburg was a walled city, so it became a haven for refugees seeking safety from the fighting. But soon, the city became too crowded and food was in short supply. Then a famine hit and a terrible plague, and Eilenburg became one giant morgue. In 1637, the plague that swept across the continent hit Eilenburg. People were dying at the rate of 50 a day. The man called to bury most of them was Martin Rinkert. In 1 year, Pastor Rinkert conducted funerals for 4,500 people, including his own wife. The war dragged on, yet the suffering continued. Yet, through it all, he never lost faith and confidence in God during even the darkest days of Eilenburg's agony. In the midst of all of that, he was able to write this hymn, "Now We Thank Thee, All Our God, With Hearts and Hands and Voices." Number 102, let's stand together as we sing.
Have done, in whom our world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Oh, may this boundless God through all our life be near us with ever joyful hearts and blessed.
You join with us in a responsive reading. It comes from Psalm 100, a psalm of thanksgiving. Let's read together responsively. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy.
Acknowledge that the Lord is God.
He made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise.
Give thanks to him and praise his name.
For the Lord is good.
His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation.
Seated. We've got a great crowd here today. Compared to where we have been through all of this, we're glad to see you all here. Did anybody get a count? I'm glad that each of you all are here anyway, but we need numbers. Pardon? Anybody? 30? Over 30, yes. Definitely over. All right, we're glad that you're here. So glad. We got a good group here from Chevron this morning. And we're so glad to have all of you folks with us. We've got Bud, and we've got Jane, and we've got Linda, and we've got Bobby, and we've got JC, and we've got Kylie, and we've got Frankie back here. Did I miss anybody? All right, we're glad that you all are here. We're glad that all of the Rockwood folk are here, too. A number of years ago, we had a... Pardon? 42. Isn't that great? Yes. 42. Thank you. All right. We had a community Easter service when I was up in La Follette, and we joined together with the Presbyterian Church for a sunrise service that morning. And I got there a little bit early and helped coordinate with the Presbyterian pastor. We got everything all set up. And when it came time for the sunrise service to start, I looked over the congregation, and if I'd had a mirror, I could have seen one of our members. But we're glad to have both churches joining together this morning. We're so glad to have you here. As we go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns you'd like to share with the family of God? Bless you. Thank you very much. And I'm the one who gets the greatest blessing from it. A couple more weeks, we'll be celebrating 35 years. Yes. Thank you very much. Other joys and concerns? Unspoken. How many by the uplifted hand would indicate unspoken request? Yes, many. During this prayer and praise time, let me ask you something. Maybe this would be a good time for you to share what you're thankful for. Maybe being among the top 5% of the richest people in the world isn't enough. You wish you had more. But what are you thankful for this morning? Absolutely. Children, grandchildren, yes. Absolutely, yes. Looks great back there. If this was Philip Pugh Sunday, you'd probably win. All right. Anybody else? Absolutely. Now you realize the less I hear that you're thankful for, the longer I'm going to feel that I need to preach. And I know there's food over in the fellowship hall. What else? The church.
I'm just thankful for my whole family.
Thankful for the whole family. For the sheep and the goats, huh? Of course, maybe your family doesn't have any of the latter, but some of us do. Okay. Yes. Pardon? Four children here. Yes, that's great. Five. I got five. Do I hear six? All right. Yes. One, two, three, four, at least five. Yes. Six, maybe seven. Okay. That's great. Also, we need to remember Richard's family. They lost one of their pets this week. And there are people in this world that say, oh, it's just a pet. No, it's not. No, we need to remember them during this time. It's a very difficult time. And it's amazing how often these things happen during the holidays. We assume that Thanksgiving and Christmas is going to be a joyous time for everybody. But that's not always the case. For some people, it's a very different time, and we need to remember all of them. Any others? As a choir sings, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Jesus, we just want to thank you. Jesus, we just want to thank you. Jesus, we just want to thank you. Thank you for being so good. Jesus, we just want to praise you. Jesus, we just want to praise you. Jesus, we just want to praise you. Praise you for being so good.
Savior, we just want to serve you. Savior, we just want to serve you. Savior, we just want to serve you. Serve you for being so good.
Our Heavenly Father, this morning, we give you thanks. We pray that you would help us, that Thanksgiving might be more than just a holiday, that it might be the foundation of our relationship with you. Thanksgiving for your love and for your grace and for Jesus Christ who died on Calvary's cross that we might have eternal life. Thanksgiving, Lord, that no matter what in the world happens, and boy, it seems like there's so much that's happening now. We know that God is in control. We pray this morning, Lord, that you'd be with each one of your family members here. These gathered here, there have been some rough spots in this past year that we've all gone through. We pray that your grace and strength would indeed be sufficient for each one. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for the way that you've had your hand and your spirit on Chevron and Rockwood United Methodist Churches. We thank you, Lord, for all of those hundreds of people who've come before us, who've made it possible for us to be here today. We thank you, Lord, for all of those who have given their lives that we might have these freedoms that we enjoy today. We pray that you would make us ever mindful of the price that was paid and help us to be ever thankful for them. We pray today that you'd be with all of our first responders. Lord, we just pray that in these difficult times you would be with them and help them. May they feel your presence. May they feel your strength. Keep them safe. Be with our troops today, Lord, wherever they may be. We just pray that you would keep them safe, be with their families as we enter this holiday season and they are separated. We just pray that you would draw them closer to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. May we ever be a people of thanks and praise. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let me remind you this morning that the offering receptacles are at both doors. Please avail yourself of them. We thank you for your faithfulness down through the years. We pray now that you'd continue to remember your church and God's work and God's kingdom. They're at both doors there as you leave.
Thank you.
may be seated.
Our scripture this morning comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I trust you've noticed the sermon title for this morning, Thankful People in Troubled Times. Now, what's he talking about, troubled times? Oh, my goodness. We won't even get into that this morning. But we're going to look at the fact that as we learn to thank and praise God for all that God is doing, everything else seems to diminish. The songwriter said, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Somebody said that worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it never gets you anywhere. Paul had plenty of excuse to be worried. Euodia and Syntyche were in disagreement. In the first chapter of Philippians, we read that there was a dispute among the Christians at Rome. And there was a very real possibility that Paul was going to be giving up his life for the gospel. But Paul chose not to worry. What is worry? Well, in the Greek, it means anxious. In Philippians 4:6, it means to be pulled in different directions. Our faith pulls us one way, and our fears and doubts pull us another. The old English word for worry means to strangle. Worry strangles us and can produce headaches, stiff necks, back pain. Worry can also affect our thinking, our digestion, and numerous other aspects of our life. From a spiritual point of view, worry is wrong thinking in the mind or wrong feeling in the heart about circumstances, people, or things. Worry robs us of our joy, and the cure for worry is a secure mind and the peace of God. Scripture says the peace of God shall keep, meaning to guard like a soldier your minds and hearts through Christ Jesus. Now, if there's anything this world needs today, it's peace. Now, why, Matt Preacher, you're talking about Thanksgiving, then you go into worry and peace? Well, they all tie in. Our world today needs peace. There cannot be world peace. There cannot be city peace or any other kind of peace until there's a personal peace in the heart. You know what a horse is like when it gets a burr under its saddle. Well, that's kind of what's happening in our world today. We got all these people with all these burrs under their saddle, and they're just going off in all directions. Two things we can do to have peace. The first one is pray about everything. Too often our lives reflect, instead of why worry when you can pray, our lives reflect why pray when you can worry. Some of us get worried when we're not worried about anything. We need to remember that nothing is too great for God's power, and nothing is too small for God's care. Remember that song that we sing from time to time, What a Friend We Have in Jesus? One of the verses says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Why? Because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. There are three types of people in this world, basically. There are a lot of different types. There are a whole lot more types of people than there are genders of people. And I'm not going to follow that path any further. But there are three types of people. There are those who bring nothing to God in prayer. They worry and try to do everything without God. There are those who bring some things to God in prayer. About 90% of us fall into that category. We don't bother God with everything, just with what we consider to be the big stuff. And then there are those who bring everything to God in prayer. Paul says to have peace, we've got to be that kind of people who brings everything to God in prayer. Paul's talking about having a prayerful attitude. So when things create stress and anxiety, we automatically turn them over to God. Now, if you want to have peace, not only pray about everything, but the second thing is be thankful. Suppose that everything you had not thanked God for in the past, let's give you a break, in the past month, everything you haven't thanked God for disappeared. What would you lose? What would be gone? Suppose we said in the past year, everything you haven't thanked God for disappeared. Colossians chapter 3. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the words of Christ and all the richness live in your hearts and make you wise. Use his words to teach and counsel each other. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus, all the while giving thanks through him to God the Father. Often when the Bible mentions peace, it also mentions having a thankful heart. A thankful heart implies, first of all, gratitude. It implies perspective. Someone who is thankful in tough times is focused on God and the big picture. If we're not focused on God, we become overwhelmed by worries and problems and lose all gratitude. Gratitude, perspective, and maturity. A thankful heart shows emotional strength. Grateful people don't allow their emotions to rule their life. You ever known people like that? I was talking with a woman one time, and she mentioned the fact that she and her husband got into quite a few arguments. And she said, so far, I have thrown three television sets out the front door, a microwave, and a VCR. Boy, that'll fix them. But we tend to do that, don't we? Gratitude, perspective, maturity, and fourthly, submission. We must be thankful and believe that God is in control and that we are where we were meant to be. Then we can submit to it. Sometimes our skies are cloudy and dreary. Sometimes our hearts are burdened with care. But we may know whate'er may befall us. Jesus is always there. If our problems cause us to be critical and complaining, we're probably not submissive. A thankful heart in the midst of difficulty shows a submissive servant heart. Paul says that that kind of attitude brings us peace. We think that the absence of problems brings peace. It does not. And we better get used to that idea because life is full of problems. A lot of people think, well, if I had more, I would be more thankful. We see people getting stuff by the carloads and by the armfuls. And I'm talking about the ones that are bypassing the checkout counter. Somehow, I don't think this morning they're any more thankful than they were last night before they got it. Or last week, or last month, or last year. Peace is a thankful heart that can see beyond the problem. We can see the testimony, the peace in the testimony of a man dying with cancer. He wrote to all of his friends. He said, I am not thankful for what I have, but I am thankful for who has me. What a difference it makes. Many of you will remember the name of Bobby McFerrin. 1988, he had a number one song of the year. It was also the record of the year. You might remember that song. It's where he says, don't worry. Be happy. I knew you weren't that young. Okay. Don't worry, be happy. Well, I've taken the liberty of doing a slight paraphrase to that song. And I don't think Bobby would object. And I think for the moment, it'll help us as we look at this issue. He said, here's a little song I wrote. We might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Be thankful. In life, we have some trouble, but when we worry, we make it double. Don't worry. Be thankful. And got no place to lay your head? Someone came and took your bed? Don't worry. Be thankful. The landlord said your rent is late and he may have to litigate. Don't worry. Be thankful. Ain't got no cash, ain't got no style, ain't got someone to make you smile. Don't worry. Be thankful. Because when we worry, our face will frown, and that will bring everybody down. Don't worry. Be thankful. If we are a thankful people, then God can bring us peace. Philippians 4. Again, let me remind you what it says. It says, his peace will guard your minds and hearts as you live in Christ Jesus. Paul says that God will then bless us with peace that's beyond human understanding, and peace that controls how we think and how we feel. The American Standard Version says, the peace of God shall guard your hearts and mind. Your hearts and mind. It's a picture of guards standing watch over a city to keep it from being plundered by the enemy. Folks, what a good analogy in this day and age that we're living in. Think of the enemy wanting to plunder our hearts of the joy and the peace and the satisfaction and the relationship with Jesus Christ. They're trying to tear down the gates. They're trying to break out the windows. They want to come in and just steal it all. He says that God will protect us from that. Jesus gives us five steps to inner peace. He says, first of all, we must relax ourselves. Verse 25 of Matthew 6. So I tell you, don't worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or clothes. Doesn't life consist of more than food and clothing? Psychologist Abraham Maslow said that self-actualized people have a tolerance for uncertainty. They don't have to have everything structured. They can handle options, questions, and the unknown. Jesus said that when we understand that God is with us, we can be secure in an insecure world. And if we ever had an insecure world, it is now. Coming out on the interstate this morning, I turned on the news at 10 o'clock, and it told of all different places in Europe where people are rioting, where people are demonstrating against the mandates for the pandemic and all of the other things that disrupt their hearts and their lives. All this is going on. But when we understand God is with us, we can be secure in an insecure world. Why don't we get paranoid about the future? I could name a whole bunch of things you can get paranoid about if you need some, but we don't get paranoid about it because we know that God is in control. One day, Lucy asked Charlie Brown and Linus what they were worried about. Charlie Brown answered, "We're afraid of the future." Lucy said, "Tomorrow? Friday? Next week? Any time in particular?" Linus replied, "We're worried about everything. Our worrying is broad-minded." I've known a lot of people that were like that. If we live to be 75 years old, and for some of us, 75 is in our rearview mirror, but if we live to be 75, we have lived 657,450 hours. And folks, that's way too long not to have fun. An 85-year-old woman wrote a piece entitled, "Looking Back." "God, if I had my life to live over, I would relax and ramble and be sillier than I have been on this trip. I would take fewer things so seriously, and I would take more chances. I would take more trips, climb more mountains, and swim more rivers. I would eat more ice cream and less prunes." If you don't understand that now, you will. "I would perhaps have more actual troubles, but I would have fewer imaginary ones. You see, I'm one of those people who have lived sensibly and safely hour after hour, day after day. I've had my moments, and if I had it all to do over again, I'd have more of them. In fact, I would try to have nothing else, just moments, one after another, instead of living so many years in a rocking chair, acting like one of those people who never go anywhere without a thermometer, a hot water bottle, a raincoat, and a parachute. If I had it all to do over again, I'd worry less, laugh more, and pick a lot of daisies." Also, we must learn to value ourselves. Jesus said, if we want to have peace, if we want to have something to really make us thankful, we must put a value on who we are. Again, Matthew 5, he says, "Look at the birds. They don't need to plant or harvest or put food in barns because your heavenly Father feeds them. And you are more valuable to him than they are. And why worry about your clothes? Look at the lilies, how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't he more surely care for you? You have so little faith." Jesus said that we are special to God, and yet we are so plagued with poor self-images. Jesus came to die on the cross for you and me, and that's how much God loves us and God values us. In a recent 2020 program, they were talking about the large number of youth taking guns to school. Even this past week, we saw it. A high school teacher was asked why so many youth were involved in killings. She replied, "It's because many youth have so little value for life. their own or anyone else's. Number three, we must accept ourselves. Again, from Matthew chapter 6, verse 27. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Of course not. We worry about things we can't control, like our physical appearance. Now, I realize some of you have absolutely nothing to worry about there. Some of us do. Popeye says, I am what I am, and that's all that I am. When we know and like who we are and quit trying to be someone else, the more inner peace we have. We should be the best we can be and quit beating ourselves into the ground. Others will not accept us and be comfortable with us until we accept and are comfortable with ourselves. As we become thankful for all of God's many wonderful blessings in our life and we realize that life is good, even when it ain't. When we learn to accept ourselves, if we're 80, love being 80. Every age has its blessings. Every age has its problems. We've all heard people say, boy, when I get older. We hear older folks say, boy, when I was younger. Okay? Live right where you are. And then also we need to learn as we become a people of thanksgiving, we need to learn to focus ourselves. Not focus on ourselves, but focus ourselves. That same passage in Matthew. So don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. Why be like the pagans who are deeply concerned about these things? Your heavenly Father already knows your needs, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. And finally, we must consecrate ourselves. It says, and he will give you all that you need from day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. That's consecration. He'll give you all you need from day to day. If we're not a thankful people, the peace we don't have are in the areas we do not surrender. Jesus said, seek first my kingdom and all these things will be given to you. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will show you which path to take. There's a lot in this world that we could moan and groan and gripe and complain about. There are a lot of things in this world that are not right. Ever since the Garden of Eden, this world has learned what pain and trial and trouble and death and grief and all of these things are. But my friends, just like Martin Rinker learned there in Eilenberg, Germany, up to 50 funerals a day, including his wife, he was still able to say, now thank we all our God. I dare you this morning to, in this coming week, as you approach Thanksgiving Day and as we go into the Advent season, see how many things you can think of that you're thankful for that maybe you haven't thanked God or someone else for. I promise you, it'll change your attitude and it'll change your life. Not, what can you give me? But thanks for what you have given me. I trust that you're going to have a very special Thanksgiving. I trust that as God's people, you're going to learn to allow God's grace and goodness to be objects of your praise and thanksgiving every moment of every day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for your goodness. Oh Lord, we need peace so badly in this world today. But Lord, before we can have that peace, we've got to have Jesus Christ in our hearts. Before we can have that peace, we've got to realize that we haven't been thankful for what we do have. Help us, Lord, that we might realize that as we go into this Thanksgiving season, as we approach Advent and Christmas, it's not what we give, but what we share, for the gift without the giver is bare. Help us that we might not only thank and praise you, but that we might let the world see our attitude of gratitude. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. I don't know what this week holds. I was telling the choir this morning that originally we were set up for 16 people for Thanksgiving dinner. And now it's down to 5. Okay? It's still a time to be thankful. I don't know what's going to go on in Washington, D.C. or Chicago or San Francisco or any place else. But I do know who's in control. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Number 364, let's stand together as we sing all 3 verses.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days, because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross that river, I'll fight life's final war. And as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know he raised. Sing it now. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And now, as the people of God, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, looking forward to that day when we shall cross that river and fight life's final war with pain, may you leave this place showing the world how much we have to be thankful for and how blessed we are, and seeking to share it all with others. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.